Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1907 with the release date of February 28, 2014. To follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. An Ohio town challenges the state's PRV1-like law. The sun unleashes a powerful X-class flare. Garrick 2014 to meet in Huntsville, Alabama this August. The 2014 National Hurricane Conference to take place in Orlando, Florida, and researchers try to find out if salmon follow magnetic force lines. Find out the details on Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1907, coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, here is this week's report.
An Ohio town is appealing the state's PRV1-like law into the court system. This after it lost an appeal by a ham who was given the right to put up an antenna that the municipality had denied. We have the latest from Amateur Radio Newsline Stephen Kinford, NAWB.
On February 4th, the village of Swanton, Ohio, filed a notice of appeal of its intention to challenge the decision of the Fulton County Common Pleas Court in the case of Gary Watke versus the village of Swanton. The legal issue began when the village denied Gary Watke's tower application, and Watke, who holds the call WW8N, appealed that decision to the Fulton County Common Pleas Court. The court ruled in favor of Watke, telling the village that it must approve a variance to WW8N's antenna support structure. Instead, the village is now appealing that order into the Court of Appeals for the 6th District. In its docketing statement, the village of Swanton asserts four potential issues, including one that questions whether revised code section enacted by HB 158, which is Ohio's version of the federal PRB-1 statute, is constitutional. It also questions whether HB 158 was constitutionally applied in this case. Ohio law grants a right of appeal from final decisions of a common pleas court. Appellate decisions are heard by a three-judge panel that is usually designated near the time for oral argument. Decisions normally take a number of months after oral arguments are made. Appellate decisions are generally final, unless further review is granted by the Ohio Supreme Court. While such a court of appeals decision represents the law only in that appellate district, it has the ability to be used as a significant precedent in other Ohio courts. It also can be cited in cases in other states that have passed similar state versions of the FCC regulations that are outlined in the text of PRB-1. Late word is that ARRL has announced its intention to file a friend of the court brief on behalf of Watke. This is likely because of the long-term potential a finding against WW8N might hold by impacting on any ham living anywhere in the United States. WW8N is represented by Toledo attorney Kerry Cooper and by Fred Hopengarten, K1VR. Hopengarten is considered a national authority on zoning law and amateur radio antenna issues. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Stephen Kinford, NAWB in Wadsworth, Ohio.
Obviously, this is one that hams nationwide will want to follow very closely. If you're wondering about the strange band conditions of the past few days, the sun may be the culprit. According to Space Weather, sunspot AR1967 returned to the earthward-looking side of our home star on February 25th and promptly erupted. This sent an X4.9 class solar flare headed our way. So far, this is the strongest flare of the year and one of the strongest of the current solar cycle. The 2014 Global Amateur Radio Emergency Conference will be held this year just prior to the Huntsville Hamfest in Huntsville, Alabama. The conference will take place August 14th and 15th at the Embassy Suites Hotel, which is adjacent to the convention venue at the Von Braun Convention Center. The Hamfest will immediately follow on the weekend of August 16th and 17th. Planners of the 2014 Global Amateur Radio Emergency Conference say that all emergency communication-minded amateurs and professional planners from all around the world are invited to attend. They add that the conference agenda, full information, and a website are currently being developed. More on the Huntsville Hamfest is online at hamfest.org. The German National Amateur Radio Society, the DARC, is questioning the measurement protocol used by the Federal Network Agency for Power Line Data Transmission, or PLT, testing in that nation. According to the Society, it appears that measurements on PLT devices are carried out partly in standby mode, with no data being exchanged. This may give a misleading impression that the equipment meets the emission standards. The PLT is better known here in the United States as broadband over power line, or BPL, transmission. The United States Department of Defense has released its complete 2013 electromagnetic spectrum strategy. This to increase available spectrum in order to meet growing demand from the commercial wireless industry. The release follows the release of a memorandum issued in 2010 by President Obama titled Unleashing the Wireless Broadband Revolution. In it, the Department of Defense is required to make available 500 megahertz of spectrum for commercial use by 2020. It should be noted that a good number of amateur UHF and microwave spectrum allocations are shared with the Department of Defense. But at this point in time, it's not known what impact, if any, the release of the required 500 megahertz could have on future ham radio operations. In DX Upfront, NL8F has told the Ohio Penn DX newsletter that he's heading down under to Queensland, Australia on March 6th. From there, he'll travel to Fraser Island for a few days and be active as Stroke VK4. He'll then go on to Norfolk Island to be active as VK9NF, if the paperwork is done on time. If not, he will sign VKN/NL8F between March 15th through the 22nd. At airtime, he thinks his activity will be mostly on the digital modes. Next, he'll head to Christmas Island and be active as T32TM between March 25th and April 2nd, which will include his participation in the CQ Worldwide WPX Single Sideband Contest from March 29th to March 30th. After his T32TM operation is completed, he plans to head to Visalia, California for the International DX Convention before heading back to Alaska on April 6th. Meantime, the GB2RS news service says that GM0KTO and his wife will be in Gambia during the month of March. He has renewed his Gambian Visitor's Amateur Radio license and will be operating Stroke C5 using an ICOM IC706 Mark II and several wire antennas for the high-frequency bands. QSL this one as directed by the operator, and we will have more DX news later on this week's newscast. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the N8LC repeater serving Sterling Heights, Michigan. Planning is now underway for the 2014 National Hurricane Conference, slated to be held April 14th to the 17th at the Orlando Hilton Hotel in Orlando, Florida. Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, is in the newsroom with the details.
The primary focus of this gathering is to improve preparedness, response, recovery, and mitigation regarding severe tropical weather. This in order to save lives and property in the United States and the tropical islands of both the Caribbean and the Pacific. The meeting also serves as a national forum for federal, state, and local officials to exchange ideas and recommend new policies to improve various aspects of emergency management. As in the past, there is a good reason to expect a strong amateur radio and ARES presence in the form of workshops, discussions, and forums. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, recording this in a rather wet City of Angels.
If you're planning to attend, registration is now open online at tinyurl.com/hurricane-meeting-2014. Amateur radio operators in Eugene, Oregon recently helped authorities track down a man with dementia after he wandered away from home. Lane County Sheriff's officials said that the ham radio transmitter hunting team used its own radio direction finding gear to locate the unidentified man who was wearing an electronic identification transmitter bracelet, only 2 hours after his wife had reported him missing from their home. The names of the hams involved in this rescue radio operation were not mentioned in the Oregon Register Guard news story. Wilson County, North Carolina's auxiliary emergency communications was activated for the February 12th severe winter weather. This after weather officials began to predict a potential crippling ice storm for the Wilson County area. A number of team members manned the radio room at the Wilson County Emergency Operations Center, from where they provided weather reports of precipitation changes to Skywarn operations. Journal entry logs to the web, EOC, were posted to the Internet, and the Wilson County Auxiliary Emergency Communications Facebook page was updated with alerts and weather information. At one point, the group's social media page was reaching over 700 citizens in both the county and the city. And while the potential was in place for the responders to pass traffic to the emergency manager, thanks to changes in overall weather conditions, that never had to occur. Teton County in Idaho is encouraging more people to volunteer as emergency radio operators to maintain communications in major emergencies. The Teton Valley News quotes County Emergency Management Coordinator Greg Adams, KE7SYB, as saying that in case of a disaster that knocks out cell phone, landline, and internet communications, ham radio is the only way to be able to talk over any great distance. But, says the newspaper, right now, John Kalebearer, KF7VXA, who lives south of Driggs, Idaho, is so far the county's only volunteer radio operator. Kalebearer is a retired telephone company worker and former reserve police officer who moved to the valley 14 years ago. The bottom line appears to be that Teton County needs more hams so as to be ready for any emergency that might require volunteer two-way radio communications. The FCC has announced that it intends to pursue a new version of the open Internet rules that was struck down by a judge in January. In a recent statement, the agency's chairman, Tom Wheeler, says that he will begin taking public input on an updated set of net neutrality rules. According to Wheeler, the FCC will not file an appeal in the case that it lost against Verizon. Instead, it plans to use the authority that the court granted in its decision to craft new regulations. Wheeler says that preserving the Internet as an open platform for innovation and expression while providing certainty and predictability in the marketplace is an important responsibility to his agency. Media Player Winamp, which is a very popular free program used by many hams to create MP3 files, is not dead after all. This after America Online offers up some more detail on the fate of its Winamp and Shoutcast programs. As previously reported, AOL had originally planned to shut down both services, but then halted that pending a possible sale. Word is that both of these properties have now been acquired by Radionomy, which is an international collective of online radio stations headquartered in Brussels, Belgium. Radionomy has some 6,000 stations in its catalog already, with an emphasis on a do-it-yourself platform that anyone can use to create a channel. Shoutcast's 50,000-strong catalog of radio stations will be a major boost on that front. The United Kingdom's first television show dedicated entirely to amateur radio was launched on the Internet just after midnight UTC on Friday, the 21st of February. The half-hour show is produced by a group of broadcast professionals who are themselves radio amateurs. Shot in full high definition, Episode 1 features Bob McCready, G0FGX, exploring the Marconi Center at Poltoo in Cornwall. Nick Bennett, 2E0FGQ, takes a hike up a mountain to discover the delights of Summits on the Air operation. Finally, Mike Marsh, G1IAR, takes the audience to meet the Norman Lockyer Observatory Radio Group to find out what makes a 2-meter repeater tick. Over the coming months and years, the show hopes to explore all aspects of our fascinating hobby, and it's free to watch at txfactor.co.uk. Just click on Watch Episode 1 now. The 2014 Palm Springs Hamfest is slated for March 15th at the Palm Springs Pavilion in Palm Springs, California. This one-day event will again be hosted by the Desert Radio Amateur Transmitting Society, better known as Desert Rats. Rehab Radio co-founder April Mell, WA6OPS, and Ham Nation co-host Gordon West, WB6NOA, will be the featured speakers. There will also be demonstrations dealing with amateur television, microwave communications, as well as transmitter hunts and much more. Further information on this event is on the web at palmspringshamfest.com, with Palm Springs Hamfest spelled as one word. And a quick correction to the locality for the April 27th Orange County, New York Amateur Radio Club Hamfest. It seems that last week we misidentified the town where it's to be held. The correct venue is the Wallkill Community Center in Middletown, New York, with the event running from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. local time. Our thanks to Tom Ray, W2TRR, who is the club's vice president, for his email pointing this out. More information on this event is on the web at tinyurl.com/OCARC-hamfest. Some names in the news. First comes word that Mitchell Meinhardt, ZS6YH, is the new youth coordinator for the South African Radio League. Meinhardt has been a radio amateur since his teen years and has been active on both local and international competitions. He has served the East Rand Radio Club as youth coordinator and was for the past 6 years also involved with Jamboree on the Air activities. G. Gould Smith, WA4SXM, has resigned as a member of the AMSAT Board of Directors, as well as his position as Vice President of User Services. Smith notified AMSAT President Barry Baines, WD4ASW, of his decision via an email. In it, he said in part that it was with deep regret that he must resign his AMSAT positions. In reporting Smith's decision to step down, AMSAT noted that WA4SXM has persevered despite chronic health issues, but recent severe medical issues have precluded him from active participation in AMSAT. Under the organization's bylaws, the position of an AMSAT board member who resigns is filled by the first alternate elected in the prior election. In this case, Joanne Mainpaugh, K9JWM, will be Smith's replacement on the board. The position of Vice President of User Services is currently open. This is Ham Radio News for today's Radio Amateur. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline with links to the world from our only official website at www.arnewsline.org. And being relayed by the volunteer services of the following radio amateur. A major university is joining in the ongoing research to better understand the workings of our home star, as we hear from Amateur Radio Newsline's Jim Davis, W2JKD.
Montana State University will be a major player in the new international program to better understand solar activity and its effect on the Earth. MSU solar physicist Piet Martens is one of the leaders of the team that will investigate a solar paradox, extreme solar events, and solar dynamo activity. One of the other two co-chairs is Dibendu Nandi, a former MSU researcher who continues to collaborate with the university's solar physics group. He's now Dean of Science at the Indian Institute of Education and Research in Kolkata, India. The new 5-year program, titled Variability of the Sun and Its Terrestrial Impact, was launched January the 13th by the Scientific Committee on Solar Terrestrial Physics and will be, amongst other things, involving reports radioed to the observers and researchers here on Earth. I'm Jim Davis, W2JKD.
More is at the URL found in this week's printed Amateur Radio Newsline report. The 11th Annual CubeSat Developers Workshop will be held April 23rd to the 25th at the California State Polytechnic University at San Luis Obispo in the Advanced Technology Laboratory's presentation room. There, members of the CubeSat community will gather with policymakers, government agency representatives, distinguished scientists, and leading academicians from all over the world for an educational and hopefully thoughtful-provoking session with the theme of the edge of exploration. The Cal Poly CubeSat group is inviting authors to present papers in all areas pertaining to the topics of CubeSat development and mission research. So far, papers have been submitted for the topics of education and design philosophy, university missions, science missions, launch capabilities, enabling technologies for subsystems, payloads and deployables, and communication and power. For more information on submitting your paper, please contact the event sponsors by email to cubesat.workshop@gmail.com. The Italian National Society has created a new award to celebrate sites declared as holding World Heritage status by the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, better known by the acronym of UNESCO. World Heritage sites are located in 160 countries all over the world. The information and rules about the award is at www.whsa.info. A complete list of World Heritage Sites is at tinyurl.com/UNESCO-heritage-list. The 2014 Tesla Memorial Contest will be held March 8th, starting at 1800 UTC and ending at 0800 UTC on the 9th. The competition is open to operators worldwide. Participants must use CW only on the 80-meter band. Points are awarded for distance between stations. Full details are at tinyurl.com/Tesla-memorial. March 17th is St. Patrick's Day, and not only will it be celebrated worldwide, but also on the ham radio bands. This with word that Ireland's West Tyrone Amateur Radio Club will be putting special event station GB1SPD on the air from the Struel Arts Center in Omagh in the county of Tyrone, some 70 miles from the city of Belfast. GB1SPD will be operating on HF, VHF, UHF, and digital modes. A special QSL card will be sent to all who make contact. INDX G3XAQ will return to Uganda to operate as 5X1XA until March 16th. His activity will be CW only, QSL via G3SWH. DK1AX and DK1MA will hold a holiday-style operation from Tonga through March 7th. They plan to use the call A35AX for a few days from Tonga Tapu and from their main location on Vava'u, running CW, single sideband, and RTTY. QSL via OQRS. K1L1 should be on the air from Dominique as J7Y through March 10th. His plans include entry into the ARRL-DX single sideband contest, QSL via his home call. WW2DX, W2RE, and N2EIN should be active as VP2EZZ from Anguilla on 80 through 6 meters. Modes and times of operation were not announced, but there is the possibility of them holding 160 meters in this operation. QSL via N2IEN. DS4DRE will be operational stroke 4 on a long-term activation of Tehuksen Island. He'll be there through the remainder of 2014, operating 80 through 10 meters using single sideband and CW. QSL via DS4DRE. YB8XM plans to activate Sanana Island sometime from the end of February through the beginning of April. No other information was provided. QSL via YB8XM. Lastly, ARRL's Bill Moore, NC1L, reports that the recently concluded FT5ZM Amsterdam and St. Paul Island operation has been approved for DXCC credit. And finally this week, a possible answer to the question of how a young salmon with no migratory experience somehow voyaged through ocean waters to wind up at specific feeding grounds that are hundreds or even thousands of miles from where they were hatched. It turns out that they may be following magnetic lines of force. Amateur Radio Newsline's Heather Emby, KB3TZD, may have the answer.
Researchers have long suspected that many animals that travel great distances upwind to particular spots visited by their ancestors may be able to sense the Earth's magnetic fields. The ability has since been found in a variety of animals, including certain migratory birds. Even more remarkable is that many creatures seem to use it to navigate with no previous experience, like the Chinook salmon. To figure out whether this species of salmon are also born with this ability, a research team led by Oregon State University tested the abilities of young Chinook salmon that were less than 1 year old and hadn't yet started their seaward journey. To accomplish this, the researchers placed young fish in barrels surrounded with coils of wire and exposed them to a simulation of a northern magnetic field. In response, the salmon turned south-southwest. Conversely, when they exposed them to a simulation of a southern magnetic field, the salmon turned north-northeast. So as to make certain their results were correct, the researchers then subjected the salmon to a northern intensity with a southern inclination field and a southern intensity with a northern inclination field. In both cases, the salmon chose no particular direction. The scientists theorized that this was the result of the latter aspect of the experiment not fitting anywhere in the salmon's internal magnetic map. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Heather Emby, KB3TZD in Berwick, Pennsylvania.
The researchers' findings were published in a recent edition of the journal Current Biology. With thanks to Allen Labs, AMSAT, the ARRL, CQ Magazine, the FCC, the Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, Radio Netherlands, RAIN, the RSGB, the South African Radio League, the Southgate News, Twit TV, and Australia's WIA News. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website, located at www.arnewsline.org. You can also write to us or support us at Amateur Radio Newsline, 281 97 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. For now, with Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, at the editor's desk, I'm Hal Rogers, K8CMD, and we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2014, all rights reserved.